This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
Dr. Peter Hammond joins us on this Friday morning. He's the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, and the William Carey Bible Institute. Good morning, Dr. Hammond.
Good morning, Brad. You know, there's always so much bad news and nonsense out there in the mass media on a daily basis, but there's some refreshing good news this morning to hear from Papua New Guinea, that Papua New Guinea has recognized God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit as the creator and sustainer of the universe and the source and authority of all government powers, and that they have committed themselves to serving the Creator, the Trinity. Extraordinary that there's this Papua New Guinea country out in the Australasia continent, and that they are making a stand for God. That's very refreshing. And this coming Sunday, the 5th of October, is the International Life Train Sunday. Life chains have been held as peaceful prayer vigils and placard protests, outreaches to speak up for the right to life of preborn babies. Since 1987, America's, we've been organizing them in Cape Town. And over the years, we found a disturbing tendency, and that is that the number of people participating in these life chains gets less almost every year. And that's bizarre, because in overseas, you find every year the numbers of those participating in life change increases to the extent that after a 50-year fight, they finally managed to get abortion knocked down from the national level, where the U.S. government had forced every state to recognize the rights to abortions. And now, since Donald Trump first term in office, they managed to bounce it back to the states, so that each state they have abortion or not. And so when I was in the United States recently ministering, I was part of pro-life activities in Florida, where they've got a brainwave law. In other words, no abortions allowed after brainwave can be detected, which is at 6 weeks. Some states in America have got what they call a heartbeat law, where you cannot do an abortion after 3 weeks after conception, which is when the heartbeat can be detected. So different states having different legislations in America, down to a provincial or state level. But on International Life Change Sunday, which is always the first Sunday in October, about 1 million people in 1,700 locations worldwide make a stand for the right to life of preborn babies. And we are holding ours this coming Sunday at Lower Burton Crux Street, opposite the Cape Town National Conference Center and the entrance to the waterfront. And there's this big traffic island with the metal barriers around the edge, where we can stand safely behind, hold up posters, put up our banners on the pedestrian walkway and so on, and communicate to those passing by in this very busy intersection to make a stand for the right to life at conception. That if the absence of a brainwave is presence of the brainwave not accepted as a confirmation of life, every abortion is the violent taking of a helpless, innocent human being. And it's so important. The scripture says in Proverbs 31, verse 8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And we read so many passages in the scripture commanding us to rise up. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will make a stand for me on against the workers of iniquity? And we are told to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather to expose them. And we are to be those who care about life, and this is an essential part of a Christian witness. We have banners, street gospel literature, the traffic lights. We pray with people passing by in the pedestrian walkway, and we find opportunities. We're going through crisis pregnancies. We lead people to the Lord. It's a wonderful opportunity, and we hope that many in Cape Town will take the time to join us at the entrance to the waterfront at Burton Crux Street, downtown Cape Town, this Sunday, the 5th of October at 2 p.m. And I should also say it's interesting that there's a major movement going on around the Transvaal and Orange Free State in commemorating the 200th anniversary of the birth of Orm Powell, or President Paul Kruger, one of the most remarkable people, a giant of a figure in South African history. And interesting that you can see there's been a big movement in the north of the country to collect funds to rebuild a replica to the iconic Paul Kruger monument that is in Church Street in the that monument has been desecrated, vandalized many times, and is now behind a fence. Some people have taken initiative, supported by Afroforum, Solidaritate, and others, so that they've built a replica, and they've now, with much ceremony in the last 2 weeks, been moving this monument all the way down to Aranya, and they've already got it installed on its new pedestal in Aranya in Northern Cape. And on the 10th of October, which is the 200th birthday of Paul Kruger, they will be unveiling this. Well, Paul Kruger is such a significant person. He was a fort trekker, a commander, a conservationist, extraordinary man. He took part in the first of the great treks in 1835 under Hendrik Potgieter's group. And at age 10, Paul Kruger was one of the 40 men who fought at the Battle of Vechtkorp and defeated the 5,000 warriors of the previously unbeaten Madibili empires of Mzilikazi, a phenomenal attack in fighting against 5,000 Madibili warriors at the Battle of Vechtkorp. And that was his baptism of fire. Well, Paul Kruger was an amazing fort trekker, a hardworking farmer. And interestingly, he actually had, in the end, 17 children. He had 7 daughters, 9 sons. Before the end of his life, he had over 144 grandchildren. A deeply devout believer, studied the scriptures. He had memorized most of the Bible by heart. He is a founding member of the Gereformeerde Kerk, which was formed in Rustenburg. He is a major founder also of the Potchefstroom University. And, of course, one of his greatest legacies, the Kruger National Park, the first national wildlife center, even before President Teddy Roosevelt had founded Yosemite National Park in America, before Kaiser Wilhelm II founded the Etosha Game Reserve in what is today Namibia. The Kruger National Park, or Sabi Game Reserve, as it was first known, was installed, and now it's named after President Paul Kruger. He's an amazing, for example, President Kruger announced any church could receive a free acre of land to build a house of worship in Pretoria. So he is approached by a Jewish rabbi who requested his acre. So Orm Powell thought for a moment and then said, "You can have." And when the rabbi invited the president to dedicate this Pretoria synagogue, Orm Powell solemnly removed his hat and declared, "In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I dedicate this synagogue to the glory of God." Probably the only synagogue in the world dedicated in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul Kruger was the driving force behind the First War of Liberation, or the First Anglo-Boer War, which successfully won the Transvaal's freedom from the British after the Battle of Majuba. And, of course, he was the leader of the Transvaal of South African Republic during the Anglo-Boer War and died in exile in Switzerland. There's an amazing film produced in 1941, Orm Kruger, which is all in German with English subtitles, but we'll be today at the Reformation Society in Rondebosch having a seminar, especially for homeschoolers, on Friday the 10th of October, the 200th birthday of President Paul Kruger. I know that there's a lot of Kruger celebrations going on all over the Transvaal and the Free State next week, but just to know that even Cape Town, we're doing something in memory of this extraordinary man. Just another one of his funny stories is he was invited to Paris. He walked into this hall and turned around immediately and said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know that you women weren't dressed yet." And he stayed out until they put on some more, because we're not very moral even back then. And so what an incredible person. He once had to amputate his thumb because of a misfire of his musket when he had been sent out with one bullet to go and get food for the family. And while hunting, he had this accident, and with his own penknife, he had to amputate his thumb. And, you know, without painkillers and without anyone around to help, a really tough Ormie. Well, Orm Powell is going to be celebrated this next week, a giant in South African history, a man who resisted the greatest empire in the world at that time, the British Empire, and was one of our best ambassadors overseas to mobilize support for South Africans when we were under attack during that brutal war. But this week, let's praise God for Papua New Guinea, recognizing the triune God in the constitution, and remember the National Right to Life Life Train is coming Sunday. If anyone wants to participate, please check us on our website. If you can go on to www.frontlinemissionssa.org, you'll see under events all the details for these upcoming events. God bless you.
That's the voice of Dr. Peter Hammond, the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, and the William Carey Bible Institute. Have yourself a peaceful weekend until we connect again. Thanks, Dr. Hammond.
Thank you. God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.